for we remember those sacred moments with those people who help make those moments especially meaningful in our lives. As I think about sacred moments and sacred people, there's probably no more object in my life that is more sacred than this one right here. This is my mother's Bible. You know, we all have those objects or an object that, even if Paul Dinopoli says, you know, don't go back into the burning house, if it's on fire, I'm going back in to get this. This is my mom's Bible. And what's especially important about this Bible for me is in the back of it is a list of names. It says, taken from the old family Bible, and then it just begins a list of names. The first people are Joseph Smith, born September 16th, 1797, and Ann Smith, born October 22nd, 1790, married December 24th, 1823. That's the top name on that list. And then the names just come in one after the other. A list of names at the back of the book, counting generation after generation of my family's tree. Most of them are names I really know nothing about other than those names and those series of dates. But there they all are, the Smiths and the Spreens and the Hatfields and the Kaisers, all of those names that make up that list. And as it goes through generation after generation, eventually it comes to my mother, Kathleen Ann Nelson, born November 22nd, 1946. It said married Dennis Lee Nelson on July 1st. What year was that? 1967. She passed away in June 3rd of 1998. Then eventually, I'm going to need to write my name in here and hope and pray that someday one of my boys will think that this book is as special to them as it is to me. But on the surface, all it looks like is a list of names at the back of the book. It's interesting. If you read Paul's letter to the church at Rome, there's no thicker book in the Bible than Paul's letter to the church at Rome. Romans is Paul's theological treatise on just about everything. It's dense, it's complicated, it's complex. Some of the best Christian thought over the centuries has come out of our wrestling with Paul's word to the Romans. In it, Paul takes on the issues of grace and sin. He deals with the covenant with Israel, and now the covenant with Christ and where the tension between those covenant lies. Paul talks about suffering. Paul talks about our relationship with each other, our relationship with the powers and authorities of this world. There is no deeper, thicker theological testament in the entire scripture than the book of Romans. So I find it interesting that the last chapter of this thick, deep, rich book of theology is a list of names. Paul ends this textbook on Christian thought with a letter, with a list of names, a list of names at the back of the book. Hear this list. Paul writes, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church at Censorae, so that you may welcome her in the Lord as is fitting for the saints and help her in whatever she may require from you. For she has been a benefactor of many and of myself as well. Say hello, greet Prissa and Aquila, who work with me in Jesus Christ and who risk their necks for my life, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also to the churches of the Gentiles. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert in the church of Asia for Christ. Greet Mary, who has worked very hard among you. Greet Antonychus and Junia, my relatives who were in prison with me. They are prominent among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my beloved Statius. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those among us who are the family of Artabulus. Greet my relative Herodian. Greet those in the house of the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those who work in the Lord, Typhania and Typhorsa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard for the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Greet his mother, a mother to me as well. Greet Antonatius, Phaglon, Hermes, Patrobas, Hermas, and brothers and sisters who are with them. Greet Philegus and Julia and Nerus and his sister and Olympus and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Often when we find those sections of Paul's writings in the scripture, he ends almost every letter with a list of names. We just usually skip over it and go to the next book of the Bible. But I want to tell you today that that list of names at the back of the book, I believe, tells us as much about who Paul is and about what our faith is than any of that deep theological stuff written before it. Right there is a list of 26 names at the back of the book. None of them you should name your children after, clearly, right? Those are some bad biblical... Rufus, you can have a Rufus, but other than that, Mary's okay, right? There's a few in there, but... That great list of complicated names at the back of the book, frankly, we don't know much about any of those names, except that they were written in the back of the book. And that tells us something about where God's work really is and who God's work is really among. And it tells us that at the end of the day, it's important to keep track of the names that go in the back of the book, the names of the saints that need to be remembered. Well, there's at least three things that that list, I think, tells us about God, tells us about the church, and probably most importantly tells us about why we gather, especially here this morning. First thing that list tells us is that at the end of the day, the church is made up of everyday, regular people like you and me. For every apostle Paul, whose name will live throughout eternity, there is a list of dozens, if not hundreds, maybe even thousands of people for whom the light of God has shined through, who are often only remembered by a community of faith who lifts up their names and make sure that they get remembered in the back of the book. God uses people like you and like me. And today we have no doubt when we name and light these candles on this altar today that God used ordinary, regular, everyday people to bring his light and love into this world. The church is made up of folks like you and me. And God uses people like you and me to change the world. The second thing that a list like that tells us is that our faith, that our theology, at the end of the day, is personal. You know, that we can have all these deep ideas about who God is and where God is, and we can fight and argue about our religion and all of those kinds of things. But at the end of the day, Paul sets aside all of those arguments and says, hey, make sure you say hi to the people I love and who love me. One of my favorite lines in that list is, say hi to Rufus and his mother, who's been a mother to me. How many of us have other mothers that we find here in the life of the church? At the end of the day, all of those great elevated theological terms and words make no difference if they don't take root in the lives of everyday people. The best theology we have takes root in everyday moments. And today, when we light these candles, we'll be reminded that some of the best theology we've experienced here in the life of this church happens in those moments of sharing a smile and a laugh and a joke with someone like John Gleason, or sharing a bowl of soup at Leon's with Bill Templin, or a shot in a beer with her good buddy Frank Mellon, or seeing Virginia Bastion smile through the pain and suffering of her last years of this journey. Our theology takes root in the lives of real people, in real moments, in real ways. And perhaps the last thing that that list of names at the back of the book tells us is that at the end of the day, while our faith is very personal, it's not private. That you and I exist in the context of community. Paul writes to a community of believers. It says, remember these people who gather together in my name. It's interesting, if you read the scriptures through and through, you will never find anywhere that I can find that it says it's all about you and Jesus. That it's just an individual thing between you and the Lord. When I read Paul's writing, he says, no, it's about the community of people who gather together. And today, we recognize the lives of people who help make this community who it is. Whether they were actively connected to this church or they were connected through people who are now connected here, some way the light of God has shined through each of these people and helped make this place what it is. I think a day like today tells you why you belong to a church. So when it's all said and done, there's a group of people who are going to gather and make sure that your name gets written in the back of the book. A group of people who are going to say, out of all the souls in this world that could easily be forgotten, these people will not be forgotten today. We write their name in the back of the book. I occasionally get to do funerals for the funeral homes here in the area. And oftentimes those are funerals for people who don't have a connection to a faith community. Did a funeral for a woman named Hazel this year. When I did Hazel's funeral, there was me, her social worker, and Hazel. And I sat in that moment and I said, only if Hazel had had a church. A people who in her last moments would gather around her and say, we will make sure that her name gets written in the back of the book. That doesn't mean God wasn't in Hazel's life. It's just that when it's all said and done, the church exists to gather around and say, that one, God's light shone in that one. I go to annual conference every year. It's a gathering of United Methodist preachers and pastors and laity who come and do the business of the church. We gather in Adrian. It's about 1,000 Methodists in one place at one time. You can imagine that's quite a party, right? Yeah, the police get on notice. The Methodists are coming. Stock up the buffets, right? There's a memorial service each year as a part of that service where they recognize the life of pastors and pastor spouses who've passed away during the last year. For me, it's become the real highlight of this, of the whole experience. I'm a relatively new pastor. I've only been in the ministry for 8 years. I didn't grow up in Michigan or this conference, so I don't have these long-term connections. And so when the names of these pastors are read and a few words are spoken about them, I seldom know any of the people who have passed. But here's what I do. I sit out there in that congregation in that moment and I watch. I watch to see who stands for these pastors whose names I do not know. And what I look for in those moments is I look for the pastors who've made a difference in my life. And when those pastors stand for those pastors I've never met, I know that that pastor I've never met, if that pastor's made a difference in that pastor's life, then that pastor's made a difference in my life. And you realize that we're part of this connection. That these names of people that seem so far and we don't know them and we wonder if we've made a difference in their lives, then we see these people who've changed our lives stand and say, that person made a difference in my life. And then you realize that you are a part of this great cloud of witnesses. And one day, my name will be read. And I hope there's some young seminarian kid sitting out there going, I don't know who Jeff Nelson was. But if he made a difference in Becca Matthews' life, if Becca stands on that day and that person says, if that person's made a difference in Becca's life, then he must have been okay. You see, friends, you start out in this thing called faith and think it's a sprint. The job to get it all in as quick as you can, only to wake up one day and realize that it's not a sprint, that you think it's a marathon, and the job is to run the race as long as you can. But in moments like today, we realize what it really is. This is a great relay race, where the baton gets passed to a new generation who carries it so they can hand it off to the next. Today we say thank you to 14 lights in this world who handed us the baton of faith today and entrusted us to run it so we can hand it to the next. Brothers and sisters, welcome to this sacred space today. We're about to read the names that will be inscribed in the back of our book. And one day, God willing, our names will be there as well.